Advance Mass, 70 degree weather coming to an end, unfortunately. It's heating season, folks, so here's a question. Is your home's heating system running like an all-star, or are you relying on the same old system that barely made it through last winter? Rodenizer Home Services is now offering free quotes for new heating systems, and with over 5,000 five-star reviews, 0% financing, and next-day system installations, Rodenizer will get your home into the heat zone to enjoy all winter long. Plus, 2020 rebates up to $10,000 off are available, but are expiring soon. So don't wait and find yourself in the cold. Act now. Go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more.
B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's hour number two, Felger and Mass, here on 98.5, The Sports Hub. The simulcast continues. It's beamed across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. DraftKings is our presenting sponsor on both. Big Jim Murray comes here from our Town Fair Tire Studios. The rest of us, Maz, myself, and Greg Bedard are on remote. It's a big boy Tuesday. Every Tuesday during the football season, Greg Bedard from Boston Sports Journal comes in. And we go over the Patriots, where they stand and where they're going and all of this. We'll get to 10 questions here coming up in just a little bit. But as promised, we're going to go right back to your phones at 617-779-0985. Billy, pop up Stan in Medfield, if you could, on line 3. Stan, you're up next with Greg Bedard. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going? All right, so I'm going to pick on the defense today. I usually switch it up every day. So today I'm going to pick on the defense. I just don't think they're not a good defense. And if Gilmore leaves this team, where does it really leave this team as far as players? I know Hightower and Chung left, but, I mean, come on, are they really such a big part of this defense that they look the way they do today? I think they got a long road ahead of them, and if they don't start finding some either good players and giving them some money or really drafting well, the defense is going to suffer for a couple of years. Definitely.
Okay, Stan. Yeah, it's an important question. Greg, what do you see in Duggar? You mentioned something in your email about him. You just mentioned something, I think, last hour about Jennings or Uche. I can't remember, but, you know, those two guys, lump them together. Chase Winovich, how he's used, what he projects as. You know, that's sort of like, that's sort of that young core. You know, include J.C. Jackson in that as well. I mean, that's it. If those guys can't play, they're in deep trouble.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with Duggar, you know, after the Seattle game, I sort of mentioned him as their, you know, he's going to be their version of Jamal Adams in short order. I still think he's going to get there because, look, Jamal Adams can't cover either, and Kyle Duggar could not on Sunday. You know, what I saw from him was he's very flat-footed in his coverage. You know, I know he comes from Division II school, so maybe he hasn't had the best coaching yet, but at some point, somebody's got to teach him a backpedal or pitter-patter or something, you know, anticipate the route a little bit. He was caught flat-footed, and every time he was two steps behind, and he didn't really have a chance. Would Patrick Chung be better than that? Yeah, but not, you know, not markedly. I think that Chase Winovich, I would like to see him move full-time to inside linebacker. I think
why? Let me just stop you. You said that earlier. Why?
I think on the edge, he's a little undersized. You know, I would like to see him more in the Hightower role of early down inside, then go down to the edge. I just, you know, I think he could just be average to good on the edge. I think he has a chance to be better inside. He's very fast. I think he thinks quickly, which really would help him more inside than it does on the edge. I don't think he'd really be mentally challenged on the edge. You know, as far as Uche, I mean, he looks fine. He's going to need a whole off season. He didn't do anything on Sunday in the most snaps that he's played this season, you know, against a very average offensive line. I thought Anthony Jennings has made a lot of mistakes this year in terms of, you know, going under blockers instead of on top of them. Yeah, I mean, look, those guys might be part of the solution. I don't think they're a major piece. I don't think any of them are a major piece. I think Duggar has a chance to be a major piece down the road. But I think they really need to look at a lot of things, including this, Mike. I thought this was interesting that Nick Saban, I saw a quote last week that Nick Saban admitted. He said, I think the days of winning with really good defense are gone in college football.
Huh.
That should set off alarm bells because whatever happens in college football is coming to the NFL. And if it's if we're not there yet in the NFL where good defense is not going to win you games, it's coming. And how does that suit Belichick?
I mean, and I agree. I think that's the way the NFL's been for a little bit. There's only a handful of good defenses, Mass.
Well, so I was just going to say that, Greg, in theory, shouldn't that make finding a quarterback easier? I mean, I think it's already become easier in the league to play the position. And if it's going to get even easier, shouldn't that help the Patriots in terms of finding a quarterback?
Yeah, but you actually have to put resources to it, whether it's, you know, not just waiting for the last guy not to have a chair and pay him $1 million, or not waiting to the fourth round to draft somebody that, you know, when you have a chance to get Lamar Jackson and, you know, Josh McDaniels is, you know, working him out and interested in him, that you decide to do that instead of, you know, taking, you know, Isaiah Wynn or Sony Michel. Those are the things you need to do. But if you, I mean, Maz, it's not rocket science. And I know you know, you went to Tufts and you're really smart, but, you know, if you don't put resources into something, how are you going to get anything out of it?
Greg, you just alluded to it. Did Josh McDaniels want to draft Lamar Jackson?
I don't know. I know that he worked him out and he liked him, you know, but then again, it doesn't really matter. You know, it doesn't matter what Josh McDaniels say. It doesn't matter what Nick Caserio says. It doesn't matter what the scouts say. All that matters is what Bill says. And what Bill wanted to do was draft Isaiah Wynn, and he wanted to draft Sony Michel.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a dictator.
Womp, womp.
What's that?
Womp, womp. How'd that work out for you?
Exactly. Especially the stupid running back. You got to be kidding me. Wynn's okay, right, Greg? I mean, he's representative.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he had a little bit of a rough time on Sunday, but you know, other than that, he's good, and he should be a starter, whether it's left tackle or maybe moves into guard next year if they can find another tackle if Tooney leaves. Yeah, he should be a 10-year starter in the league, no doubt.
I mean, they run left constantly. I mean, that's where they run. They run behind him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah. I don't bemoan that pick. The running back? You got to be kidding me. John in Brockton, Billy, if you can, on line five. He's up next with Greg Bedard.
How you doing,
John?
Guys? Good. Greg, I got a question for you. I got a theory that ever since Garoppolo got traded, Belichick says, I'm going to do it my way. You're not going to like it, but that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a defense, slow guys. They need fast speed, and they won't do nothing about it. They didn't pick up a tight end at the trade deadline. Didn't pick up a wide receiver. And what are you doing keeping Tooney and Gilmore with that kind of money they're making to go out and get some draft picks when they're not going nowhere this year? Thanks so much.
John, yeah, let me drop you. Greg, let me rephrase the question to you, Bedard. Did Belichick become a bigger dictator after he lost Garoppolo?
Nice pause there.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Yeah, me neither.
I won't argue against it. I think there's evidence to back that up. Do I know for sure? No, but I think this has been in the works for a while that I think, you know, sometimes when you get older, you don't want the hassles. You don't want to have to work so hard. And I think sometimes very talented players are a lot of work to get them to conform to your football culture and things like that. And I'm not sure how much of that work Belichick wants to do anymore.
Ugh. Well, seriously, like if you don't want to, you know, and Greg, But if it's reached that point, and this goes, you know, I know Murray has talked about the comment that Bill made at that coaches conference where he says that,
yep.
You know, or maybe it was Urban Meyer, that Bill basically wants to coach players he likes. If it's reached that point, then what are we doing? Time to check out. If you don't want to put, you know, if you don't want to deal with the good players because they're difficult, then, you know, to me, it's time to cash out and go.
It's time to go coach Division III lacrosse.
Absolutely. You'll like those kids.
If that's what you're looking for, you're in the wrong league and, you know, probably the wrong sport. All right, as our phone board gets all sorted out, let's break now so we have more time for the big fella with the 10 questions, because we're going to get to the Brady stuff in that as well. I know we got some thoughts on it. So don't go anywhere. 10 questions with Bedard right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger.
So you're a business that's thriving, but then, don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with serious and reliable gig speed internet. But is it secure? Sure, it's secure.
So how do I do this?
We do this together. Bounce forward with Comcast Business.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
Most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your rating.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's hour number two, Felger and Mass, here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. The simulcast continues. It's beamed across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. DraftKings is our presenting sponsor on both. Big Jim Murray comes here from our Town Fair Tire Studios. The rest of us, Maz, myself, and Greg Bedard are on remote. It's a big boy Tuesday. Every Tuesday during the football season, Greg Bedard from Boston Sports Journal comes in. And we go over the Patriots, where they stand and where they're going and all of this. We'll get to 10 questions here coming up in just a little bit. But as promised, we're going to go right back to your phones at 617-779-0985. Billy, pop up Stan in Medfield, if you could, on line three. Stan, you're up next with Greg Bedard. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going? All right, good. So I'm going to pick on the defense today. I usually switch it up every day. So today I'm going to pick on the defense. I just don't think they're not a good defense. And if Gilmore leaves this team, where does it really leave this team as far as players? I know Hightower and Chung left, but, I mean, come on, are they really such a big part of this defense that they look the way they do today? I think they got a long road ahead of them, and if they don't start finding some either good players and giving them some money or really drafting well, the defense is going to suffer for a couple years.
Definitely. Okay, Stan. Yeah, it's an important question. Greg, what do you see in Duggar? You mentioned something in your email about him. You just mentioned something, I think, last hour about Jennings or Uche. I can't remember, but, you know, those two guys, lump them together. Chase Winovich, how he's used, what he projects as. You know, that's sort of like, that's sort of that young core. You know, you include J.C. Jackson in that as well. I mean, that's it. If those guys can't play, they're in deep trouble.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with Duggar, you know, after the Seattle game, I sort of mentioned him as their, you know, he's going to be their version of Jamal Adams in short order. I still think he's going to get there because, look, Jamal Adams can't cover either, and Kyle Duggar could not on Sunday. You know, what I saw from him was he's very flat-footed in his coverage. You know, I know he comes from Division II school, so maybe he hasn't had the best coaching yet, but at some point, somebody's got to teach him a backpedal or pitter-patter or something, you know, anticipate the route a little bit. He was caught flat-footed, and every time he was two steps behind, and he didn't really have a chance. Would Patrick Chung be better than that? Yeah, but not, you know, not markedly. I think that Chase Winovich, I would like to see him move full-time to inside linebacker. I think
why?
Let
me just stop you. You said that earlier. Why?
I think on the edge, he's a little undersized. You know, I would like to see him more in the Hightower role of early down inside, then go down to the edge. I just, you know, I think he could just be average to good on the edge. I think he has a chance to be better inside. He's very fast. I think he thinks quickly, which really would help him more inside than it does on the edge. I don't think he'd really be mentally challenged on the edge. You know, as far as Uche, I mean, he looks fine. He's going to need a whole off season. He didn't do anything on Sunday in his the most snaps that he's played this season. You know, against a very average offensive line. I thought Anthony Jennings has made a lot of mistakes this year in terms of you know, going under blockers instead of on top of them. Yeah, I mean, look, those guys might be part of the solution. I don't think they're a major piece. I don't think any of them are a major piece. I think Duggar has a chance to be a major piece down the road. But I think they really need to look at a lot of things, including this, Mike. I thought this was interesting that Nick Saban, I saw a quote last week that Nick Saban admitted. He said, I think the days of winning with really good defense are gone in college football.
A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.
Felger and Mass.
Whee!
It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub. You want the answer? You've
You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, it's 10 questions around the league with Bedard. Giving ourselves some extra time here, so it's 15 minutes for 10 questions, but we still do have to be on time. We've had some computer problems. I'm not sure. Do we have our buzzers, Billy? Do we have options?
Nuts and bolts, we got screwed.
Ah, it's that time of year.
Oh, nice.
Looking forward to that tomorrow. What else?
That's the minimum stinger!
There it is. Here's a Thanksgiving Day Eve preview in our 10 questions. Next. Next one should be boo.
You know what? I don't really care if you people look at me in the press box. You know what? I don't care. That's a flag. And I'll fight any one of you if you want it.
That's Bob Soucy in the press box in Cleveland a couple years ago. Go ahead, next.
Hate the press box! Don't you understand? Throw a flag!
All right. More of that coming tomorrow on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving Spectacular. Hit it, Billy. Hit anyone. Number 10.
Nuts and bolts, we got screwed.
Greg and Maz and Murray, should the NFL have a draft lottery? And if so, what should the format be?
I don't think so. I don't think tanking is a real year-to-year thing in the NFL just because of the size of the rosters, how many players have to play. Like, you can't just – it's not like NBA where you have 12 guys or three real starters and you could just replace them. It's much different. I just don't think tanking's a real thing in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't think they need one either, as long as you have personnel people that continue to be stupid and draft running backs in the top three picks. Like, honestly, I like it the way it is.
Yeah, me too. Never. The NBA draft lottery's a joke. It's been rigged at times. The way the NFL does it works just fine.
All right, next. Number 9. Rate Brian Flores' decision to bench Tua on Sunday.
I liked the decision. I did not like the explanation that he... Look, he was getting his rear end kick because they couldn't block, and he didn't want to risk further injury. And what was the point? That's what he just should have said. I mean, when you go out there and you don't tell the truth and you give a reason, like, you know, I didn't like how he played, it's not going to sit well with the team. As far as... you know, whether Tua should have been out there, I would have waited a little longer, but I didn't have a huge problem with it.
I'd have let him suffer through it. I mean, I didn't love the fact that they pulled him. If you're going to name the guy as a starter, you live with him come hell and high water, and you let him suffer through that stuff, and you find out ultimately what he's made of. So to me, my issue was pulling him at all. Let him play.
Yeah, the grade is an F. They were still in the game. I don't care if he had been sacked. I think it was 6 times at that point. If you're going to start him, you ride or die with him so you don't potentially ruin his confidence.
I loved it. No sacred cows. We're going to do now. If I didn't realize there was an ulterior motive there, Greg. I took him at his word that he was doing what was best to win the game. And they started to move after Fitzpatrick got in there. And so I just think, no sacred cows, man. We're in it. We're a game out of the division. We have a chance to win this ball game. The kid's not getting it done. I don't care if he's a first-round pick or he's the franchise. Take a seat. We're trying to win this game. Like, I think that was the message. I hope that was the message. And if that was the message, good for him. Next. And again, you can just hear it now. Taking off the headset, yelling out the press box window. Tremendous. Number 8. Who has the best logo in the NFL? Not uniform, logo.
This is the only time I'm going to say something good about them. The Bills. I love their logo. Always have.
So I went with the Ravens. I just love that purple bird with the black outline. I love the colors there, too. So I think the Ravens have a badass logo. I like it.
I go to Detroit Lions. Simple, ferocious, great color scheme.
Lions I like. Okay, my favorites are Packers. It's just classic. You know, sorry. I can't help it. Steelers. I think that Steelers logo with the diamonds, you know, in the circle, which I forgot what it even means. Do you guys know what it means?
It's the three rivers or something?
No, I think it's the isn't that the logo for American Steel? I mean, isn't the American Steel with the three colors?
I meant to look it up. Like, I picked it, so I should know it. And, of course, as usual, I just totally forgot to. But I think that's, like, a logo that stood the test of time. That's a cool, distinctive logo. I like the Steelers logo. The Ravens, man. I'm sorry. Well, okay, the next one. Go ahead. Number seven. Hit it.
You know what? I don't really care if you people look at me in the press box. You know what? I don't care. That's a flag. And I'll fight any one of you if you want it.
Who has the worst logo in the NFL?
I think it's the 49ers. I just don't like whether it's the FS or the 49ers, whatever they, you know, they switch back and forth. I don't like any of them.
See, Mike, you like the classic logos. I like some of the newer ones because I think they're a little more detailed. So I'll tell you the one that I think sucks is the Texans. That logo blows. I mean, it's allegedly the head of a steer, you know, red and blue. Like, yeah, you couldn't do better than that. I think that logo sucks.
Cleveland Browns. It's literally just a picture of their plain orange and brown football helmet. No effort, no art, just an ugly helmet. It's the worst logo in the NFL.
Okay. Clearly one of the worst logos in all of sports belongs to the New England Patriots. And you agree with me because when they first introduced it, you all went, what the hell is this? You called them the Flying Elvises. And that was not a compliment. That was a rightful dig. That was a rightful ridicule of what is the cheesiest, worst logo in just about all of sports. The New England Patriots and the Flying Elvis. That thing sucks. But I also want to put a little subcategory of all the birds. All the birds and cats, like those logos. Like for some reason, I agree with the Lions logo. I think that's sort of cool and regal looking.
It sucks.
But the rest of the birds and cats, like Ravens, Cardinals,
Jaguars.
How come I blank? Panthers. Oh my God, they're all freaking this. The Falcons, the birds and the cats. Boring. Sorry, Maz. I disagree with you.
I like the Vikes logo too. The Vikes have a good one.
Okay, next. Number six, Greg. What do you see with our Green Bay Packers? Why aren't they better?
I think it's a combination between, not having a ton of stuff around Rodgers on the outside, but mostly for me, it's been a disappointment that Pettin can't get that defense going. I had really high hopes for him going there, and it's never taken hold. They just haven't been good.
It's the defense, totally. Again, think of all those years where Brady was in the prime of his career and the Patriots couldn't win because their defense ultimately let them down. So Rodgers could use more weapons, but if they have a defense, he'd have to do less.
I'll tell you, the primetime games that I've watched of them, and you tell me you watch them week in, week out, Mike, they're third down defense. They can seemingly never get off the field.
Okay, they're a stupid team. And they're really stupid on defense. I mean, colossally dumb. Like, they don't really game plan. They don't take away the opponent's best thing. They don't adjust. It's been that way forever. So that's obvious. But I'll just take this opportunity to second guess Rodgers and get on Rodgers. And something has really occurred to me, and maybe it's just because I'm a fan, and so it's just taken me a while to really accept it. But, you know, in the 2 minute, he blows. He blows as a two-minute manager. Now, look, he's such a talented quarterback, he's such a talented arm, that he still makes plays, and he'll still move the team. But in terms of manipulating the clock, you know, using his timeouts, knowing when to spike the ball, not spike the ball, taking easy money versus taking shots, he didn't know how to do it. That game against Indianapolis, that last drive of regulation, they should not have been clocking the ball. They clocked the ball twice. When he had all the time in the world to get up to the line of scrimmage and run a play. Instead, he clocked it. And so on that last drive, he only had one shot into the end zone when he should have had two or three because he didn't have any time left and they had burned their timeouts. And this is repeated with this guy. He also, Greg, doesn't know how to run the hurry up. Do you notice the Packers never run tempo offense? It's always Aaron Rodgers up against the play clock down to 3-2-1. I guess he's trying to see what the defense is or whatever. But like you watched the Rams last night or anytime you watch the Rams, you know, there's all the time. They're up to the line. Boom. Ball snapped. Good tempo. The Packers never do it. I don't think Aaron Rodgers can do it, Greg.
It's been something that's talked about every year up there. back to when even I was up there, you know, with Favre and then Rodgers. And I think it's because Aaron just wants everything to be perfect. He wants to show off his brain. He wants to get up there and make all the checks. Like, he's just obsessed with it.
Oh, God, driving me crazy. All right, next. Sorry.
Nuts and bolts, we got screwed.
All right, I spent too much time on that. Tool bag question. Who was a bigger tool bag on Sunday, Mike Vrabel and his players for congregating on the Ravens logo pregame, or Jim Harbaugh for apparently, although maybe not shaking Vrabel's hand? You know what I mean. Who's a bigger tool bag, Vrabel or Harbaugh?
Definitely Vrabel for being a hairy high school hardo, you know, with the – come on. I mean, the only person who liked that was probably Albert Breer, because he belongs in the tool bag portion with him.
So this takes me back to the whole game that the Patriots played against the Chargers back in, Mike, what year was that?
06.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the lights out thing, and Vrabel was in the middle of that. Vrabel's got some douchebag in him. And look, I like the guy. I think he's a good coach. But that whole thing with the logo, and it took me back to that. He's a little bit of a douchebag sometimes.
I go with Harbaugh just because I'm biased. He's always been a baby. That's the Harbaugh way. Whether it's him or his brother, they always look like they're going to stroke out over the littlest thing. So I say
next.
Harbaugh.
Next.
Let's go!
Greg, has the needle moved back up? For anyone on the panel, has the needle moved back up for Sean McVay and or Jared Goff?
No. I've always thought McVay is a good coach, and I thought he made a really good move in the offseason getting rid of Wade Phillips as defensive coordinator, who burns hot, and then his defense just falls off. I thought the move to Brandon Staley was really good, and I think Goff is just okay. He needs to be protected. He needs a running game. I'm not a big fan.
It's moved back up for me, mostly for McVay. And look, I think Goff is okay. I think, honestly, I've reached the point where I think if you get a good coach, you can win with Goff. But I think this is a reflection on McVay. That stat they showed during the game last night, 31-0 when they're leading at halftime, or 37-0, whatever it was. And I also like the way they're playing now. That the identity of that team, to me, has become their defense. And that shows me a lot, given that the coach is an offensive guy. Like, I give McVay a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, for me, McVay, yes. They've made changes to that roster, focused on the defense. They might be the most underrated D in the league. He's the puppet master with that dope of a quarterback, gets the most out of him. So, yeah, tip of the cap to McVay.
Okay, so McVay, yes. Goff, no for Murray. I actually agree. McVay, yes. Needle up. Goff, flat. Next. Fill in the blank, Bruce Arians' decision to practice at night last week to get his team ready for Monday Night Football was?
I like it. You know, I'm all for practicing in conditions that you're going to play, and I thought that was good.
Yeah, I would say was obviously useless because they sucked again. So to me, you do whatever you want. You practice at midnight, fly them to another time zone if you want, do whatever you want. Like, that team is going nowhere with that offensive line.
It was corny, just like him. It's college football type nonsense. And what were the results? The same. It didn't work.
I'll steal my answer from Gasper on Saturday with you, Murray. It wasn't college. It was high school. That is hairy high school. Bullcrap. You've got to be kidding me. These are professionals, Bruce. Guys who've been playing their entire lives at night or on Friday, Saturday, you name it. You need to practice them at night to get ready for a night game? Grown-ass men in the NFL? Oh, boy, does that say a lot of what's going on down there. Next.
You know what? I don't really care if you people look at me in the press box. You know what? I don't care. That's a flag. And I'll fight any one of you if you want it.
Okay. I'm going to ask this, and I'm going to save your answer for the next segment because it's a big answer. But here's the question. What's wrong with Tom Brady? What's wrong with Tom Brady? I want you to think about that. Billy, hit it one more time.
He's the best guy. Don't you understand? Throw a flag.
And here's the last question. Who has underachieved more this season, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick? Now, these questions are so good that we're just going to save them for the next segment. So
oh, goody.
I want you to suck on him for a second. I want you to chew on it, suck it, lick it, fondle it, feel it, and we're going to come back and we're going to discuss what's wrong with Tom Brady and who has underachieved more this year, Brady or Belichick, right after Big Jim Murray's update.
Wonder where Felger and Maz get all their inside information?
I heard from a guy at a cocktail party.
Always relying on their credible sources. Felger and Maz, the show to come to when sports news breaks.
Oh!
Second and 10.
Here's Brady. Over an outstretched hand, and it's too far. Too far for Brady and intercepted. Jordan Fuller comes up with his second interception of the night. Fuller, fresh off the injured list to play in this one, comes up with a big pick.
Again, you just see Jordan Fuller. You're going to see him right here. Just drive to the middle of the field and just read Tom Brady's eyes. Look, Brandon Staley said between the numbers is where Tom Brady really likes to live, and that's where they were going to really focus on. And you see their safeties have been playing tight, and they have been playing shallow most of the game to really try and take away the middle of the field throws. It's a great job of Jordan Fuller just making a fundamental read and capitalizing over an overthrow.
Tom, as frustrating a game as this was, you guys had the ball with a chance to tie or win there late. Just nice about the last drive and about that throw and how it got away there.
Yeah, it's just a bad read, and Cam was running up the seam, and just at the last second, I saw the safety coming over and just, popped it over Cam's head. So just a bad read, bad throw, decision, everything. Can't happen.
Let's get to these questions. Greg, what's wrong with Tom Brady?
Okay, well, number one, I didn't watch much of last night's game. I was working, but I did see some of it. But the bigger thing, and last night only reinforces what I thought coming in, which is what's wrong with Tom Brady is Tom Brady is not facing reality, which is what he was asked to do here in New England in terms of he needs a running game. Like, he can't just win the game by himself. He can do it occasionally, but really, he needs an offense that's run-focused, 21 personnel, play action, all that. Anytime they get away from that, he has issues. And this is what they tried to do at the end of 2018. He didn't like it. As I reported at the time, he checked out for a portion of, I don't know for how long, but he didn't. After that Pittsburgh loss, they tilted the offense to the running game. He didn't like it, sort of went on autopilot. That largely helped them go on and win the Super Bowl, and he didn't like that. Didn't like it last year when it happened. In 2018, they had a really good offensive line, tight end to run block. That worked really well for Brady. 2019, they did not have a good offensive line or a tight end that could block. They couldn't run. Brady wasn't as good. Same thing is going on in Tampa Bay right now.
So I think it's a number of things, but I'll start with the Brady part of it, which is that he was never great at handling pressure up the middle, and I think he's getting worse, period, at handling pressure overall. So to me, that's the big thing. And he doesn't have a cast of wide receivers that is familiar with his thinking. There's no Julian Edelman there necessarily to bail him out. The closest thing he's got is Godwin, whom I love, by the way. I think that guy can play. And if Brady had had him in his prime, that guy would be setting all kinds of records. I think he and Brady work together. The big thing, though, is that I think the game is sped up for Brady, and he can't handle it like he used to.
Old, frustrated, can't throw deep accurately. And here's an unfortunate come-to-Jesus moment that I've had, and for the rest of the Brady Bobos like myself. He has sucked in these primetime games this year. Bears, Giants, Rams, Saints, all the same. He's not good in them. And you look at some of the numbers, he's 0-for-19 on pass attempts going 20-plus yards over the past month. That's a Dean Wormer-esque 0.0 QB rating on those passes. He out-golfed Goff last night. He was awful. That's one of the worst games I've ever seen him play.
That was the scariest game I've seen him play, Murray and guys, in a long time. That was, and Greg, unlike you, I watched every play. I watched every play, and there were sequences in the second half where I audibly gasped. He threw a couple of those balls, so that you heard the last interception of the game, where he comes out down 3 points with 2+ minutes left and a timeout, like vintage Brady, can of corn for him, right? Automatic. And he floats up this no-chance ball down the seam when he didn't even need it. I think it was even first down. It wasn't even a had-to-have-it situation.
That was just what he threw another ball like that at the end of the second quarter that should have been picked off, and it wasn't. Went right through the safety's hands. He threw another ball like that in the second half right into a safety's hands where he threw it to nobody. He threw it in the middle of a deep in cut on one side and a post on the other, and he wasn't close to either guy. And those were some throws where I literally went, like, what has happened? Maz, I'm not joking. Not since the days of the Felger and Maz Brady and Decline show from, like, I don't know what year you want to pick, 2011, 2012, when we really started looking at it and pounding him, when I thought he was in decline at that time. At no point since then have I looked at him in any of these games and said, oh my God, he's in trouble. He doesn't look right. Because I've always, even down there, blamed, like, what's around him more than anything. I mean, look, I think he's trailed off a little bit, but you know, his struggles down in Tampa, I've wanted to put on Bruce Arians in the offense and a bozo like Mike Evans or a stupid offensive lineman. Or, you know, even here, I blamed his attitude, you know, not his physical ability. Here, I think he just lost interest and lost heart. And or I thought that's so. Last night was the first time that I looked at him actually physically play the quarterback position and say, oh, my God, he's in trouble.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it last night.
No, again, he looked like a guy that just couldn't handle the speed of it. And to Murray's point, first of all, like, and I looked this up because I was curious, you know, again, last night was a dreadful game for him. Like, you know, didn't complete passes, chucking the ball up, affected by the pressure, turnovers the whole nine yards. In the last 3 years, and that's where I drew the line, of his five worst games, two of them have happened in the last 3 weeks. Let's not forget the Tampa game, which the Saints game. New Orleans game, which was a complete disaster from Tampa Bay's standpoint. So that's two horrible games in the past 3 weeks for Brady. And they happen to come against two of the better teams in the conference. And I think what you're seeing is a guy who was the elite performer in the league, the best quarterback in the history of the game, has now slipped down a little and, as you said, is not enough to carry his team past good competition anymore.
You know, listen, for all the Brady bashing we've done, you have not heard me say the following that I'm about to say. But last night, he sucked.
Yeah.
He was a problem. Look, he's had some bad games, and look, we've ridden him plenty. But to me, I've never really have felt that he has sucked like that. And, Greg, you know, I know you said that the offensive scheme down there is a bad fit, but last night was beyond that. Last night it was beyond fit. I mean, he took – I just wrote down at one point, like, why does he keep taking these shots down the field? You know, because there were some drives where he moved the ball beautifully. He was spreading the ball all over the place. Everyone was involved. He was throwing to all the receivers. The ball was on a line, you know, the short intermediate stuff, and they moved. And, you know, there were times he felt unstoppable. And then he'd go back there and just chuck the ball down the field, like those give-up plays. Like, I used to think here, when he got frustrated or he knew he wasn't going to win, he'd just go back there and chuck it up, right? Because it was just his way of sort of giving in. I felt he did that last night when he was in the lead, and the game was still in the balance, and he started doing this. So I felt it was something beyond just the scheme of Bruce Arians wanting him to push the ball down the field.
Well, I just think, look, I think that he has to be part of an overall offensive scheme where he's a part of it. He's not the focal point. I think that they need to be in more, you know, two back, one tight end, run the ball, run play action. That's when they've been at their best as an offense this season. And when they start to spread things out and they think they can take advantage of this team deep and that team, it doesn't work. Brady can't do that anymore.
And the pressure last night, which was decent but not over the top, completely freaked him out, Maz. He totally puddled himself with just the littlest bit of pressure.
Yeah, and so there's one out that I give him, one that it's not his fault, although he chose it. So, and that is that I don't think his offensive line is very good. They're mediocre. They're not horrible, but I think they're mediocre. And against defensive fronts like the Saints and the Rams, they get abused, and Brady can't handle it anymore.
I've seen him handle much worse than last night. I've seen, you know, yeah, they got to him a little bit.
Same, but Aaron Donald, you never heard his name last night.
Right, Murray. I've seen plenty of games where his offensive line got abused much worse than what happened last night. And what would Brady do? He'd call out the blitzes. He'd, you know, get rid of the ball quick. He'd unload it on three steps. He'd find the open guy. He'd go hot. And he'd just sort of neutralize his problems up front. And last night, it was just, last night he made it worse Last night, he made whatever pressure the Rams are getting on him worse. Last night blew me away.
And once again, and something else you mentioned a few weeks ago too, Mike, like after yet another three and out, just the look of resignation on him. It's just
the vacant, glassy look on his puss.
Yeah.
Which, last night to me really sort of got to me. So what's wrong with Brady? And I do want to compare it to Belichick, and we'll do that coming back here in a long commercial-free segment, and we'll say goodbye to Bedard as well with your calls.
Boston's home for sports.
Hey, it's
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, so Hembo has a stat on the screen that Brady leads the league in incompletions on passes 20 more yards down the field, which begs the question, Greg McElroy, why do they throw so many passes 20 or more yards down the field? That's Bruce Arians' no-risk-it, no-biscuit offense. Tom Brady is a three-step and get-the-ball-out-of-your-hands-quick quarterback who's 43 years old. Do you see some incongruity in what they are doing offensively?
Completely. Not only is Tom not being super accurate on those throws down the field, but the protection's not holding up. Like, at what point are we going to look at it and say, well, we can't throw the ball 40 yards downfield because, one, our quarterback hasn't consistently been hitting those throws all season, and, two, we can't keep guys out of his lap. And we know.
Yeah.
Tom Brady's been playing this league for 100 years. We know what it takes to make him less than the GOAT, and that's by hitting him and moving him off the spot. And the teams that have beaten the Bucs this year have done so consistently.
Listen, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but I just can't. I have to keep saying it. Hembo just put it up on the screen. They've thrown the ball down the field more times than any other team in the National Football League this season. That is what the coach wants to do. If you want to do that, then signing Tom Brady was a mistake. It was not the right. It just doesn't make any sense. And until they figure that out, it's not going to look any better.
That was the reaction on ESPN. So again, not a system fit with Bruce Arians, which, to Greg Bedard's credit, something he said from day one. Okay, not a system fit. But I don't, I do blame Bruce Arians, but you know what? Brady wanted it too, Maz. He chose it.
Of course.
And if you listen to the Brady media cartel, and I say that with all the love and respect in my heart, because we need these guys, and these guys have been valuable because they report how Brady feels. But if you listen to the Gaspers of the world and the Kearns of the world, part of the reason Brady chose it is that he wanted to show people that he wasn't just a pop gun quarterback, that he could make throws down the field. And so Brady chose that style, and he can't bitch about Bruce Arians forcing him to do something he doesn't want to do. He wanted to do it.
Oh, yeah. Okay? Look, I'm sorry, Greg, just quickly. I think but Brady's mistake here is that he thought he could do it without the coaching. Because, again, when the Patriots had years where their offensive line wasn't the best in the league. In fact, they had plenty of them. But the Patriots were able to scheme it in such a way that the ball came out so fast that it didn't matter, which is the coaching aspect of it. So I think what Brady did is he went down there and he said, well, I'll put up huge numbers, completely ignoring the fact that coaching has a great deal to do with the protection on top of it. And again, Mike, I'm not telling you that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive line sucks. I just think it's really average, and against good defensive fronts, they've had a hard time. And Brady's not getting the ball out as quick as he used to. But I don't cut him slack for that. As you said, he picked it.
Okay, second question. Let's do it here because obviously the Patriots have had their problems at 4-6. The Buccaneers are 7-4. They play Kansas City this week. Tom Brady ranks 17th in quarterback rating in the league. 16th if you want to throw out Dak Prescott, who only played 5 games. So he's 16th or 17th in quarterback rating in the league. He is tied with Philip Rivers. He is behind Jared Goff. He is behind Teddy Bridgewater. He is behind Kirk Cousins, Josh Allen, the rookie Justin Herbert, Ryan Tannehill, Derek Carr, and on down the line. He has 9 interceptions, pacing for 13, which would be the most he has had since 2009 and would be one fewer than his career high. The arrow is pointing down on a team that in Tampa is loaded with guys to throw to. So I ask you, Greg, who has underachieved more this season, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick?
Can I give you a couple more stats?
Sure.
Hang on.
Go ahead.
hot off the press. Okay. Total yards per game. New England ranks 16th. Tampa ranks 18th. Yards per play. Yards per play. New England 15th. Tampa 20th.
Oh.
Passing net yards per play. New England 17th. Tampa 21st. Ooh. First downs per game. New England 9th. Tampa Bay 15th. Third down efficiency. New England 11th. Tampa 13th. To me, there is no doubt that Tom Brady and the Buccaneers have underachieved way more than the Patriots have this season.
Oh, so I disagree on this. To me, it's Brady. I mean, Belichick. And so you want to tell me that Brady has underachieved? Hell yes. Bill's got his team losing to Houston and Denver. Like, so despite all the stats you just rattled off, Greg, and again, excellent stats.
Yeah, hold tremendous. On, Greg. Can you text those to us, please? I need to use those for the next 2 hours. Thank you.
Oh my God, they're tremendous, really, and they're outstanding. If the Patriots are better than all those things, how come they're not winning? And as Bill Belichick would say, stats are for losers. So again, give me all the efficiency stats you want. The fact of the matter is, Bill's team is 4-6, and they've lost to Houston, who has only beaten Jacksonville, other than New England, and they lost to Denver. So to me, I still say Bill has underachieved more than Brady has.
Yeah, Belichick. They can't beat the crap teams. You couldn't find another quarterback in Stidham. You waited till the last second to sign a trash heap one in Newton. The draft was terrible again. Spent a whole month whining. You're not making the playoffs. Well, Tom and this suckbag operation in Tampa will. Advantage Tom.
Okay. Remember, I'm asking you who has underachieved more, not who's had a worse year. It's obvious that the Bill and the Patriots have had a worse year. Like, that's not a hard question. Who is doing less based on what they have? Who is below what they should be? Who's further below what they should be? And the answer is still Belichick. But it's close. And Brady's closing. Brady is closing on Bill Belichick. This is the time of year when Brady was here, they'd be getting better and hitting their stride and starting to, you know, really put it together. In Tampa, it feels like it's just the opposite. And so who has underachieved more? It's Belichick. But Brady is closing, and he's closing quick. And that game last night, man, that shook me. That shook my belief in Tom Brady. I was not expecting to see that again after some of the stinkers he'd put up here previously. All right, so I want to get to the caller's thoughts on this. What's wrong with Brady? Who has underachieved more, Brady or Belichick? And does it make you rethink the Patriots' decision and where they are this year and all of it? Just put it all in a big ball and let's, again, suck on it together, shall we? Greg, thanks for joining us. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, and we'll get back to you next Tuesday.
See you, big boy.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Same to you.
Okay, 90 seconds. Update. No commercials and right.